What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Why Yes You Were Friends podcast, the Not Another Sports podcast, where we discuss myriad topics that mostly expose us for how alike we really are. I'm Ronnie Sullivan, and with me as always is Brendan Wong. Brendan, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing? Super excited today.
I'm pretty excited myself, and I'm doing all right.
And why is it a banner day today for you?
Oh, well, not to, again, break kayfabe for when we're recording this podcast now, but this is the first day that we've released episode one of the Why Yes for Friends podcast, so feeling pretty jazzed.
Yeah, me too, man. Pretty exciting feeling to have a goal and work towards it to achieve it. It's fun, regardless of how successful this ends up being. It's been a blast, and I hope it continues to be.
As do I. And to those out there in listener land, thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope to not disappoint as we continue to move along in the Why Yes We're Friends podcast land. But for now, Brendan, we had some topics that we wanted to talk about. Well, that we were talking about last time that we were going to kind of continue along this time. And I was wondering if you were ready for that.
Yeah, we were talking about our logos, favorite logos and least favorite logos. We had covered the NBA. I'm sorry, we had covered the MLB, Major League Baseball, and we had covered hockey in the NHL. And we decided to leave the NBA and the NFL for this episode.
I think that was a great idea.
Yeah, I think so too.
As we said last time around, I think you and I could go about these topics for longer than the hour that we usually set aside for these casts. I mean, we're kind of proving it now because we only went through two leagues last time. We're only going through two leagues today. And we're, for the most part, leaving behind so many different things on the table. Other professional sports leagues in other countries. We're leaving behind minor leagues for like baseball and hockey, like throughout the United States. We're leaving out the college. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. These, of course, could be future episodes that you may very well be looking forward to if you're binging a bunch or anything like that. But for now, before we put the cart ahead of the horse, let's focus in. Which one do you want to start off with today? The NBA or the NFL?
I think we should continue in the reverse order and do the NBA first, and we'll finish with the NFL.
I like it. Would you like to go first, or do you want me to start?
Oh, gosh, I'm happy to jump in.
Please do.
I think that, we talked a little bit in the last ep about how visual this is. So I just want to remind folks to pull up your web browser if you need to see any of these. It might help your brain wrap around what we're talking about.
And of course, remember to pull over the car. We talked about this last time.
Yes, we sure did. So NBA is where we're going to jump in. The Major League Baseball has the hats and NHL has the sweaters and NBA has the jerseys. And I feel like it's probably next to hockey. It's the biggest logo. It's generally right in the middle of the court, which is the smallest court out of the sports that we're talking about. Like it's the logo on the basketball court occupies the most real estate out of any of the sports that we're watching, with one spot has the logo on it, right? Which is significant in somebody's mind, I'm sure, besides mine. But so much of basketball is, shot from the waist up. And you see so much of that the NBA has started taking on advertisers now. That's a relatively recent addition to those jerseys, the new team logos with the addition of the advertisements on the shoulders. But if we're just going straight logos for all time, and thinking in mind about how concise the ones that I've liked in the past with the Hartford Whalers and the Milwaukee Brewers, that I think that the top of the list for me is probably the Utah Jazz, who use an eighth note as the J, and the circle of the eighth note is a basketball. And, for a team that is in a state where they don't allow music, I love the irony they're able to bring to the court every night. As far as classic logos, it's like a recognition. I think that the Bulls have the Yankees logo of basketball. You know that there are kids in North Korea that have Chicago Bulls logos that may not even know what a Chicago Bull is, but that logo is worldwide. I'm getting to experience a lot of these logos through the eyes of my young children. I have 2 6-year-old boys and an 8-year-old boy, and we watch a lot of sports in this house. And they're actively engaged in a lot. You know, they when there's a game on, they ask me who we're rooting for. You know, they want to know who the good guys are, who the underdog is. You know, they know this stuff. But part of that is their recognition of you know, 3-letter city representations. You know, SFG, San Francisco Giants, and seeing those wheels turn is really fun. That being said, when the Atlanta Hawks play, they call it the Pac-Man team, because that logo looks like a backwards Pac-Man.
It does.
I appreciate the negative space in it, but that's all that they see when they look at that logo.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards is another one that really stands out in my mind as a good logo that has the Washington Monument right in the middle of the stripe of the basketball that says, you know, if you the one with the Washington Monument in the middle of the ball, that logo. So I like the NBA's logos for the most part. They don't have many that really miss. I feel like they're shooters.
For lack of a better term. That's really funny that you mentioned the Washington Wizards. I have them in my list of like bad ones. And the reality is that I think most of their history is bad. I think you're right. This one is currently like safe. It's easier. It looks good in the center court that you were talking about. But yeah, man, I'm thinking about on that, like that old one with the weird kind of like, I don't know what to call it, kind of like origami shaped wizard kind of doing the layup.
The teal color. Yeah, that I remember that one was horrible.
And they tried to make that work with this new color scheme where they're more like traditionally United States red, white, blue.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm also looking back when I was looking at some of their logos and everything, and I'm remembering that they used to be the Washington Bullets.
Oh, the Bullets. Yeah. The hands.
Yeah, just two hands putting up as the L's in Bullets, just throwing up a ball. And I had it down here that the Washington Wizards, like this current one, is like literally the best they've done.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. No question about it. Let's hope this isn't the pinnacle, but just the first stop.
And a shout out to the Bulls, as you had mentioned a little bit earlier. I have it in my notes that they've actually never changed their logo.
Oh, wow.
They nailed it in 1967. And like, they haven't even done that crazy thing where, you know, they soften the edges and everything. And it's literally the same logo, but they stylize it for the modern times or anything like that. It is the same logo since 1967.
Wow. That's remarkable in and of itself.
For sure. I mean, so many of the teams that I went through have done something similar to what I just mentioned, that stylizing, where it's mostly the same logo as it's been throughout the years, but it's now sharper, more modern, looks better on a t-shirt, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to go through some of my personal favorites, I really, really have always enjoyed the original Charlotte Hornets logo.
With the whole Hornet?
The whole Hornet, both flying and dribbling a basketball at the same time. I think it's currently in the portfolio for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, sure.
So it won't really make like a reappearance, I don't think, but I did enjoy it. I was immediately drawn to it when I first saw it. The first time I loaded up NBA Jam, I had no idea at the time that Muggsy, or you know, Muggsy Bogues was this kind of novelty player for being the shortest. You know, I just was like, let's see, let's go with a point guard. So I need Muggsy Bogues, and I guess, I don't know, Larry Johnson. I do remember like that logo was one of those, as I was discovering the rest of NBA, I was drawn to that as a kid. The current Raptors one, I really like.
Uh-huh.
There's something really simple, but tells a lot.
The basketball with the claw marks?
With the claw mark running through what would be the rest of the lining.
The stripes.
Yeah. And it's a, it's in black and gray, and it's, mm-hmm. and then like the Raptors is all in red. So it kind of like evokes what it's, you know, like something terrifying while also still giving most of the spotlight to the information. And otherwise, for me, the my favorites are down to like older ones. RIP to the Seattle Supersonics.
Oh yeah.
That one with the half ball with the Seattle skyline.
The Space Needle in the you're talking about the one the skyline or not the not just the Space Needle.
Well, the Space Needle on like one side and on like the skyline, all it because that's how like Seattle is. It's far away from its actual like downtown. But yeah, the that really old school one that's in a deep would be the Kelly green and yellow.
Yeah. Not this one with the with just the
Nah.
Space Needle. You're talking about the one with the
The one right before it that they tried to kind of bring back a little bit when they when, right before they left. Yeah, it's in like yeah, three quarters of a basketball. But yeah, that skyline, and then it's just the simple Seattle Supersonics.
That's really cool. I'm looking at some Supersonics logos that I had never seen before with a lot of focus on the Sonic Supersonic part of the Jets involved that I had never seen. This one in particular, there's a it's a basketball with the Space Needle running the length or the height of the ball with a being encircled by a jet what's it called, a chemtrail.
The takeoff
The
trail,
vapor trail, yeah.
kind of evoking that look of like Boeing,
Yeah.
because Boeing doesn't Boeing kind of have that like very similar like we're going up,
Yes.
like symbology.
Yes. It's absolutely trying to trick my mind into thinking that they're aiming to be more successful than I know that they'll be or would have been. Speaking of the Seattle Supersonics, though, you definitely brought up Muggsy Bogues. I don't think that we should just glance over the fact that there's a 5'3 man in the NBA who could dunk a basketball because oh, that's Jose Altuve's height. Is it not? Is he not 5'3 as well?
Something like that, yeah.
Altuve can jump, but I don't know if he could dunk a basketball. Like, that's such a phenomenal. I'm 6 feet tall, and at this point in my age, I can barely touch the bottom of the rim when I jump. You know, like it is quite a feat to be able to dunk on a 10-foot rim, period, let alone being under 6 feet tall. And this guy was under 5'5".
Yeah.
I just don't want to gloss over Muggsy Bogues like
No. No,
that.
not to like get too far off the topic, but while we're on this like topic of shorter guys, like do you remember when Spud Webb was going up against Dominique Wilkins, or I believe it was Dominique Wilkins, for the dunk contests in the early 90s?
Yeah.
You watch some of those videos. He it's in it looks impossible the height he's getting. He just comes off the ground and just keeps going up and up and up like he was a cartoon.
I remember. I think it was one of those earlier in my viewing dunk contests where I remember somebody. Spud Webb was 5'7", just to be clear, 4 inches taller than Muggsy
True, but did I just knew him to
Bogues.
be like at the time, like that was the era where, I mean, Michael Jordan's what, 6'3"?
Yeah, I think it was 6'2". I thought it was 6'2", but I don't know.
But either way, he's standing over 6 foot, and like, everybody else was standing above him in these
Sure.
contests. So for him to be, for Spud Webb to be going in there, what, she said 5'7"?
6'6". Jordan was 6'6".
6'6". And he's still, like he's doing, like I said, those things where he's jumping up, holding the ball in two hands, and like making his move. And he just continues to rise and rise and rise.
Is the reason that it's not impressive to watch a 7 foot guy dunk is because they don't jump very high off the ground.
Right.
But to see somebody like Kobe fly through the air like that, who's not 7 feet, to see somebody like Jordan, who's only 6.5 feet tall.
Or. To make, the reason why like Shaq was so impressive was his agility up there, him able to like grab the rim and pull himself up to get that height.
Yeah, to break that
Yeah, to break that backboard, to just like put
backboard.
his whole leg in the air, like so he was up there.
Yeah.
You're right though, it's the height. It's not exact, or it's the height of the jump, not exactly the height of the person. It makes this a little bit more impressive, but
Sure.
I digress.
Yeah. Great logos, though.
Yeah, right. To get back on the topic, I also I really like the old school Dallas Mavericks logo, the one where the M is wearing I don't know what the gallon size hat is.
A 10-gallon
Yeah, I always called it the JR from Dallas style hat.
hat.
And it just kind of evoked it right there, like, oh, okay, yeah, these are the Cowboys, like not the Dallas Cowboys of football, but more or less
Right.
that like that Cavalier, not the Cavaliers from Cleveland.
The cowboy hat on the corner of the M,
Yeah.
hanging on the corner of the M.
Yeah, the one that they used pretty much up until they changed over to this like this current one with the white horse
Yeah.
and the in a crest kind of logo shape.
Yeah.
And then my like one of my last ones is I don't know, I kind of liked some of the older ones that I saw. Like we were talked last week about how there were like more illustrations of like humans and stuff like that and like baseball logos in like the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I'm here to tell you right now, not to get ahead of two things or the next subject, but the NBA and the NFL are full of those either anthropomorphic animals or just actual humans themselves doing
Yeah.
something really weird, but just standing next to like the ball. So it's like, oh yes, a basketball playing like gold digger for the
Right.
Nuggets.
The Padres logo that I had in mind with the monk, it like the dude is swinging and missing, and the bat's way up top, and his feet are like twinkle toes, you
Yeah,
know?
he's in like incredibly bad form.
Yeah. As opposed to say the Patriots from that similar era, where it's somebody in a football position in a 3-point stance wearing a 3-cornered hat.
Staring right at you.
Yeah, I feel like there's a little bit that feels more like a logo and less like a cartoon.
So, yeah, we'll get to that one because that one's on one of my lists for the
Okay.
humanoids and all that stuff or the NFL. But I had like a I got to a point where it's like these aren't necessarily like favorites of mine or I would call them bad. I just call them weird ones. If you can find a way to look at it, try and find like the Celtics logo through the 60s.
We're not talking about the guy leaning on the cane.
No, the one that comes before that.
Okay.
It's like some guy, he's pretty much jumping up and down, but he's holding like a jester or like I'd say like a royal cane or whatever, you know, scepter. He's got a crown on.
But he's in like a squatted position or jumping position.
Yeah, I said it like the dude looks like he's both the king of Mardi Gras and that he's like cosplaying as one of those moon aliens from that, I think now in the public domain old movie, The Trip to the Moon.
Two things that people in Boston, I'm sure, really love.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and if you're looking for more of a visual like guideline for that moon alien from Trip to the Moon, it's the very same type of style that the Smashing Pumpkins aped for the Tonight Tonight video.
Yeah.
Another very like recent relevant topic that I bring up, I'm sure.
La voyage dans le monde, la lune.
Yes, yeah, a trip to the moon. But yeah, if you remember, like they're just kind of like weird looking dudes wearing like body suits that just hop around. That's kind of what it looks like. They're all kind of like hopping in that exact same form as that Celtic dude. And
Yeah, I see it moving in like silent movie
yeah.
motion movements. Yes. It does look like they unwound a little bit and then ran it at a fast speed. It's fun. But this guy is he jumping or is he squatting?
Exactly. I have no idea. It's as I, the more I look at it, there's no indication telling me otherwise.
Yeah, there's no frame of reference for a ground. Mr. Show with Bob and David, one of their first seasons, they did a take on Oasis, and it which was another story altogether. But at the end of it, they play a song, and they have a music video for it. And the video, they use a technique where they only film them when they've jumped up in the air with their knees up. So then it shows them like floating across the screen with their knees, but like in very bad editing, like not done well intentionally, where you see them hopping across the screen kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like they're doing. I could picture either of them wearing a scepter and a pointed hat like that, and it would fit right in. But you can't really tell if they're squatting or floating.
They just are.
Yeah, existence sometimes, man.
Just to switch over toward some of the ones that I thought were bad. What do you have on your list?
For the NBA, I had the Hawks were definitely at the top of that list.
that negative space reverse Pac-Man.
Yeah, like just so again, you know, I have seen that logo, but I know plenty of people, and my kids are apparently some of them that yeah, they can't see that first, you know, where they need some directions, you know, like any visual what's the word I'm looking for? The optical illusions
Oh, like the seeing eye kind of thing.
where they can only see, or the old lady and the young lady, right? In that one where they can only see the young lady, or they can't make out how that space isn't a mouth closing, but it's actually the head of a hawk, an Atlanta hawk.
Yeah.
Atlanta known for their aviary prowess. I think that one of the worst is the Cavaliers logo that has the sword going through the basketball. Because it invokes a sword going through a basketball, which to me is funny. I mean, it's not, to be fair, it's not like going through the basketball, but it's the Cavaliers logo, and it says Cavaliers, and there's a basketball, and the sword starts, and then the basketball, and then the sword continues. So it could be going through there, like it's pinned to the logo. It's, you know, the Pistons are such a classic logo. It's hard to tread on them, but it is just it looks like a first draft.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's classic, but it ones that maybe could use a little bit of stylizing and retooling. I feel like you know, maybe that's one of them. The Nuggets had what's his name? Like a minor, not a young person.
And he's all splayed. Like limbs literally in every diagonal direction.
We call it starfish, but I think that's from when they were ABA.
Yeah, he's holding a blue, white, and red basketball. It makes me think that.
That would track. Yeah, so I that Wizards and the Washington Bullets and the Atlanta Hawks are probably my top three, but that Nuggets one is pretty hard to get around.
Yeah, I thought for a moment there you were going to talk about the same one I wanted to talk about when it came to the Pistons, but that 90s Pistons one was weird. I'll put it that way diplomatically. The one where it's the I know it's supposed to be kind of like making you think of horsepower, but really all it does is it looks like a knight chess piece is on fire, and then it's farting fire.
Yeah, with the exhaust pipes in the S's of piston.
Yeah, like I know what they're going for. Like you can see it in the design, and it's like the more you know about cars, you get it. Like horsepower, pistons. Like this is all
Piston,
making
yeah.
sense. But yeah, when you just see a black horse in profile, I'm thinking of a black horse. They're like knight chess piece, and you know it's just on fire. But it also has these like flames coming out of the what would be the backside of it, maybe just a few inches.
That's, you know, the thing about horses is that they are known for their bladder size, and they truly do piss tons. I'll show myself out.
Oh my. To stay on the Pistons, but to more or less what you were talking about, my personal dislike for one that I think is just kind of boring and could actually use a bit of a rebranding, and if we're being honest, maybe perhaps of a renaming, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like it's so boring, and it doesn't even look like they're like at least some logos have tried to have fun with being a concept and not exactly something that's really easy to like make a logo for.
Sure, I it's very difficult in my mind, as somebody who has a very limited experience in trying to conceptualize and then draw something. If I were to say thunder, of course you would think lightning,
Right.
which is not the same thing.
But it would at least give you sort of that, I don't know, it would at least be trying,
Sure.
like something like the Cavalier. I don't really know exactly what a Cavalier is to make a sort of like a visual representation of. I know that they're probably going for something more, you know, of that like that sword play, like
Yeah.
so, but at least it's kind of like trying, even if it does look like a sword trying to deflate a basketball.
Instead of a mid-sized sedan from General Motors.
Yeah, or a previous one for the Cavs when they were using the V as a net.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was like when they were Cavs instead of
Yeah.
Cavaliers. Some of the NBA I feel is just kind of weird, mostly because, like I said, they're more or less concepts you can't really that don't really evoke either something intimidating or themselves are just concepts that are hard to just kind of get around. Another one that I'm thinking of is like old school Nets, when it was just like the gradient like bomb pop colors, like it just
Yes.
said
Yes.
Nets, and then it was going into like a ball going into a basket.
It did, yeah, it did look very very poolside
Definitely. And the last one that I have here that I'm just gonna jump on, and it's another old school one, and it's part of the reason, like it's a pretty good reason to rebrand into the now Charlotte Hornets, but the Charlotte Bobcats was just
Oh, gosh.
it wasn't good. And this is coming from somebody who genuinely likes the color scheme, like dark orange and the navy blue.
Sure, the Netherlands.
Yeah, I was down for those colors, but that logo was horrible. Well, that kind of like puts a bit of a pin, at least as far as my thoughts. Like I could probably go on more, like trying to look into the old school ones. Like I think I saw one when I was going through my research of the Houston Rockets had a had one they used way, way, way back of a man who's like flying, but he's wearing a jetpack. I mean, this kind of goes back to that, like thunder and lightning, like he's propelling into the air, so you're thinking of rockets,
Sure.
but he's wearing a jet pack as he does it, like
Sure. the Rocketeer instead of the Rockets.
and that's yeah, maybe that's what it is. The Rocketeer was popular a while ago, you know, maybe we could do something like that. But yeah, he's holding a basketball and flying in the air. But otherwise, yeah, as far as the NBA goes, I'm pretty tapped.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of really good logos in the NBA, and I love, I mean, I'm sure it's apparent just by listening, but I really do like seeing the evolutions. I really appreciate the histories, and when logos can incorporate something from their city's history, I feel like they're doing it right. I think that as bad as a Rocketeer logo might be, to incorporate a town that's renowned for its connection to space travel is the right thing to do. The Cape Canaveral Rocketeers would be just fine with me too.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that one. The last thing I would say is I, again, some of these like older school ones, they just got weird, but I agree with you. They eventually began to realize that TV would show this giant logo in the center of their courts all the time. So they kind of had to figure something out. And
Oh, they're in high def now too.
oh yeah, that's probably added a whole thing to it. But I feel like it's driven a lot of kind of like more or less this dynamic era of the NBA, where they're now messing around with like wood colors on the courts and
Yeah.
different like secondary logos that they can play around with that they can also put into that center space, and or in certain cases like doing like a really annoying large one. Like I think the Lakers played with that for a few years where it was like the logo practically went from like 3-point line to 3-point line.
When you gotta look for the center court lines,
Yeah.
I feel like you should be able to look at a logo and say there's the middle of the court. But it's fun to see the evolution.
Definitely. And you know that, I mean, now they're doing more of these jerseys, and again with these court schemes, we're probably going to see more logos popping up, at least if not ones that outright take over the primary, ones that are just secondary, like especially for some of these ones with history. Like it would be really fun, I think, at certain times for maybe the Warriors to go back and play with that one with the where the it's the basketball in the state of California and the star at the bay.
Oh yeah, I like that one too. Was that, like the navy blue red and yellow, like the Baron Davis era.
Oh, no, the one right before that. Yeah, the Baron Davis one is.
The gold and cobalt almost.
Yeah, and it's like I want to say like the font style is kind of very Western inspired, I would say. You know, it looks like you would
Okay.
see like the way it would be wood carved over the word saloon or something, like Golden State Warriors. I mean, talking about that Baron Davis one, that one was a really cool era too. I mean, I understand that it's just kind of like, some dude just kind of like moving forward. He almost kind of it makes me think of Charlie Kelly from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia's Green Man.
Sure.
Just a faceless, bodysuit guy like holding a lightning bolt and running forward. Warriors.
Oh wow. The Warriors have some problematic logos if you go back to those 50s and 60s, 40s, 50s and 60s. I had no idea. That Western style font you're talking about was ran for a long time. It ran for 30 years
Yeah.
almost. And that old school city logo, I like the comeback of the bridge right in the middle. I think it's neat.
I think it was a really like cool thing to do because one thing that I began to notice, at least around the Baron Davis, Steven Jackson era, was that they began to incorporate more of the Bay and not just be so like loud and proud East Bay.
Sure.
So I think that Bay Bridge was genuinely like we're literally building a bridge, to make right like that we are all Bay.
Just yeah, I am realizing now I said Bay, and the new one is the Bay Bridge. Is it? Oh no, it's not. It looks like the new Bay Bridge
Looks like the new Bay
construction that they
Bridge.
had done, but
Yeah.
in the logo from 69. The bridge is the Golden Gate. It's got to be, because that's there's nothing more iconic.
Right. Especially if you're going to do the city. Because that was when they were like, again, a few years or just a few years ago before they really started going all Bay again. They were really pushing more of the town. And we're in
Yeah,
Oakland.
Oakland, yeah. Until they moved to San Francisco.
I was going to say, I don't know if that was like the city of Oakland themselves trying to really drive that narrative so that they could maybe keep their team.
Yep, that's exactly what it was, man. It was civic pride. I mean, yeah, it's people who care about their team and not wanting their team to move. And poor Oakland has gone through that a bunch, probably more than any other team I can think of in recent history, but they're about to lose their third team in 5 years, 6 years when the A's go to Vegas.
Ugh.
So yeah, I feel for that city a bunch, because I know a lot of people that care deeply about their home team. And when your home team isn't at home anymore, are they still your home team? It's a difficult ball to square. You want to take a break? Do some NFL.
I think we can definitely look toward the city of Oakland and tell them that we're not going anywhere. We're just going to take a quick break and
We are here to be your home team, at least half of us.
right. And we'll see you on the other side of this break with some NFL logos, which spoiler alert, if you thought the old school Warriors one was problematic, oh boy, the NFL has some good ones. We'll see you in a moment. And we're back. Well, Brendan, as we promised right before we took this little break, that we were going to come back and finish this somewhat comprehensive logo talk of the Big Four in American sports, with the National Football League. Since you began the NBA one last time, I think I'll just jump in real fast and start. For me, I just was going up and down, and it's like they do a pretty good job of finding themselves a good like something that they can put on the side of their helmets. But for me, like I think the Miami Dolphins just nailed it.
I like the Dolphins logo.
Yeah, I mean, in a way that like some other teams that have animals that should be a little bit more terrifying haven't been able to do with their logos, the dolphin actually kind of looks a little fierce. He's wearing a football helmet. He's coming out like it's like cresting out of the water with like the sun and like outlined behind it in negative space. Like I don't know. I sense it all. It tells me everything. There's Miami. There's Dolphin. It's wearing football helmet. Like it's the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was something that stuck with me. I think it's also maybe just that color scheme. It's very unique, that stark white on top of some orange and teal. I mean, I know that the Miami Marlins of baseball tried to play with those a little bit more, but for whatever reason, like those just kind of belong to the Dolphins, and they've really made it their own.
I really like that color scheme as well. I also appreciate when a city has some unity in its color scheme. I like the Steelers, the Penguins, and the Pirates are all yellow and black. I feel like that's a significant choice, and I the Islanders and the Knicks and the Mets are all blue and orange as well. And you know, like I,
yeah,
whether or not it's intentional, even I don't know. But I, as a fan of sports in general, I like being able to look at a color scheme and be able to pretty much guess a region if I'm not familiar. But you know, it's a neat concept anyway that there's room for in other sports, in other cities, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, like the, it wouldn't be that much of a lean for the Kraken to blend into the Seahawks colors, or vice versa for that matter, or for both of them to take on the Supersonics colors. It would be a lot of fun too.
Or, you know, for, you know, an NBA expansion team coming into Seattle, because they keep talking about something like that. Just,
yeah,
instead of coming back as the Supersonics, coming back as a new team and taking on those colors. And yeah, really creating, like, I guess, shades of blue. It's kind of, you know, gray, light blue, dark blue. It sounds a little ridiculous to say out loud, but again, if you're pulled over and you're looking over at these logos, I would say take a look at some of them. They're actually a lot cooler than I'm giving them credit for. Again, or mostly because, again, you know, when it's like, oh, they're all different shades of blue, it makes it sound like, you know, it sounds almost uninspired as a concept. But as somebody who's messed around with a lot of shades of coloring, like, anytime you can make the same shade all pop at one, like, or like one color in different shades all pop, like, that to me is definitely a good eye.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about the Seattle Kraken. I will say, though, to stay on it, I do like that Seattle Seahawks logo. It's, the color scheme is cool, but I do really like that indigenous celebration of the totem head.
Yeah, the local style.
Yeah,
appreciation for the city. Yeah,
and that they've kept it all. Like, they haven't like stylized it. They haven't done something like going back to the Atlanta Hawks. Like, they've had different variations of, like, hawk. Like, they've, you know, they've tried to play around with it as a concept and, like, little form, but that Seahawk, like, that profile, like, totem head, you know, like, Seahawk, like, it's just iconic.
Agreed. That's on my list as well for top logos in the NFL, for sure.
Nice. To go back to Florida, I really like the exposition that comes with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Sure.
You know, like, it tells you so much, and so much of what you need to know. It's got the you know, the symbolism of the skull and crossbones, even though it's a skull and two swords with a football in the middle. It's a sword holding up a tattered flag. It's war worn. It's a little, like, fierce looking and intimidating. Like, it kind of tells you a lot of what you need to know, and it just slaps right on the side of a helmet really nicely.
It does. The it's almost like a Florida version of the Raiders.
Yeah.
There's an old school Buccaneers logo that has a man holding a knife in his teeth, wearing a hat with a plume, a big feathered plume coming out the top of it.
Yeah, and like, the, I don't know if, is it supposed to be like windswept up, or is that just the way the
hat I think it's pinned that way, because it's some, but I don't, yeah, I think maybe it's not flavor, maybe it is the wind, because it's Tampa. Everything else is being pushed that way. It could very well be the wind.
I really, really liked that color scheme. This is the old school one that made them look like they were wearing creamsicles.
Yeah, it was like a orange and white with a almost a burgundy accents, almost.
Right. I really liked it, and I wish they would play around more with that color scheme and perhaps keeping this logo. But yeah, that one you were talking about with the man in, the knife in his teeth. It just very much felt to me like a 1950s, like, Cyrano de Bergerac type movie. Like, it always just felt like the guy was just like, yes, I am one of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
Hello, my name is Tampa Bay Buccaneer. You killed my father.
You steal my football. Now, big ups to Mandy Patinkin.
Big ups.
Rest in peace. I'm not sure if he's passed away, but I just want him to sleep well.
I'm gonna, for my last one of the likes, I'm gonna go back a little bit more old school, but I miss the Houston Oilers logo.
Oh, I like that one too. I had that one on my list too.
It was a very simple, like, just oil rig, but more importantly, like, I really miss, like, that color scheme again. Like, talk about the NFL just kind of abandoning some color schemes and such. The Titans hold on to some of it, but not all of it. But the like the red and powder blue and white, just very unique color scheme. And I thought it looked really good on even old school your TV when you're getting that like NFL films footage.
Yeah, the contrast with the powder blue and the red makes the red really pop. That powder blue is a really nice touch in an otherwise brutal sport. It brings a certain light, a delicacy, delicateness. It's not, just ask the Chargers.
I know that I know that the Tennessee Titans, where the Houston Astros or Astros, the Houston Oilers moved to, I know they maintain that like that powder blue a little bit, and they maintain a little bit of that red. But it seems to me that they've really gone more to the, again, the shades of blue, like powder blue on top of navy blue.
Navy, yeah. That red is clearly in there just as a tribute.
Yeah.
I'm sure that
A
it's.
forget me not. I mean, I feel like the shape, the odd shape of the Titan sword feels a little like oil riggy.
It's cavalier, is what it
Again, not the Cavaliers of Cleveland, but I'm just joking. But yeah, man, what do you I mean, it sounds like I've stolen a couple of yours.
No, that's fine. No. I think arguably the most, well, two of the most iconic, they're equal in my mind. If we're talking about iconic, recognizable logos that people worldwide know, you can't go without mentioning the Dallas Cowboys and that big blue star with the silver border. And the other one is the Raiders. Regardless of their location, the black shield with the skull, the foot, the guy.
Yeah. The Raider.
Yeah, exactly. Not to say that those are particularly concise. The Raiders one definitely has tells you more by looking at it. But I think recognition wise worldwide, I think the Dallas Cowboys, in my mind anyway, are probably at least as recognizable. The Kansas City Chiefs, problematic as their name may be or become, they pay tribute to Native American naming with an arrowhead and the K and the C in the middle. I feel like that's a logo that I can appreciate without it being problematic for me. However, I'm not indigenous. I'm not native to this land the same way that people who have every right to be offended by it might be. On the other side, the San Diego Superchargers, I think their helmet design, that lightning in a curve, looks really cool on the helmet. But again, I'm pretty sure that name comes from credit cards. The idea of being able to charge something, the San Diego Superchargers, and that has nothing to do with an electrical charge.
That is stupid if true. And makes me dislike that team even more.
Well, the amongst my favorites, then probably if I had to say a top favorite in the current or even within recent times, as far as helmet design, a logo telling you what it is and where they're from, the current LA Rams logo with the L and the A, with the horn coming out of the A and looping back as the Rams horns do. I really like for a logo design. I feel like it's got the things that I'm looking for. But except for the tribute to local aesthetics.
You want that blue to be a little more purple?
Yeah, purple. Yeah, or, yeah, like the land of lakes in Minnesota.
I'm sorry to derail you. Go ahead.
No, I know you, but you're exactly right. There's room for the Dodgers to go to purple and gold. There's room for the Rams to go to purple and gold.
I feel like the Rams have kind of leaned a little bit more into that. Like the yellow really I feel shows up as an accent and mostly on the helmet, but most of their jersey sets are blue and white.
I got one more. There's room for the Angels to go to navy and red like the Clippers.
Yeah. I think before you go any further on like, ones you don't like, I think honestly the Chargers agreed with you at one point when it came to their logo, because I don't have it so much as ones that I don't like, but I have a list of like ones that I thought are kind of dumb. And the reality of it is the dumb ones are so unoriginal that it's literally just a helmet. Like you see the helmet. It's not just the thing they put on the side of it, but it's literally the helmet itself.
Yeah, like the Browns.
Right. The Browns, they're currently doing that one. The Bengals did that up like through the 90s. But yeah, there is a long period where before they kind of decided just to take on the bolt and let it run free, that I feel most that they would literally were just a navy blue helmet with the bolt. Like we're the Chargers. Like this is who we are. But yeah, the Rams were that way up until they left the first up until they left LA the first time. It was literally just a helmet with the like that like little like spiral yellow in the blue.
Yeah, the that look like ram's horns.
Right, but also just had the gray faceplate in the front of it too. So yeah, just to say, I feel like it at some point, even the Chargers agreed with you that they thought their lightning bolt wasn't working very well. Maybe they just finally owned it, or maybe like the help of like more modern graphic design have made them feel more confident in designs they can put out. But yeah, I agree with you. It's a lightning bolt. It's just there. It looks great on a helmet, but otherwise it's just, this free forming like
Yeah, just a
thing.
floating bolt. I also like the Broncos logo from a couple of years ago with the D and the horse coming through it. And the Jets is one that's always been a classic in my mind. Although the Jets don't have the same worldwide notoriety that some other more successful football teams, their logo is still one that I like very much. The Jetropolitans, if you will.
Jetropolitans, that's pretty good. I when it comes to the Jets, it's weird. I feel kind of like I have attention deficit disorder when it comes to their logos. When I was a kid, I thought their rebranding to the football shaped logo with their the New York Jets on lettering on the inside of it on a white helmet was a really refreshing look. And then it's like, and mostly because I don't know, I thought it wasn't the best look with the white and like Kelly green and just the Jets on the side of it. But now they've kind of begun going back to that, and I think it's really cool looking suddenly. It might have everything to do with and I think the Eagles have done a better job of this now, and perhaps HD has helped with this, but as a kid, I felt like they looked almost exactly like the Eagles, or vice versa. Like they were both just green and white teams with like you really had to look at the helmet in order to tell who was who.
Yeah, you couldn't tell by looking at their winning record either.
At the time, yeah, that's true. But then some great quarterbacks came through for the Philadelphia Eagles, a guy named McNabb, and for the New York Jets, some guy named Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, gosh, poor guy.
I feel bad for him because like I think I would be able to like handle like having something on my resume such as or as bad as the butt fumble if like it was just an aberration in an otherwise okay to good career.
Sure.
It's just kind of like, oh, dude had a bad day and he's going to be memed forever.
But when your highlight is your low light, yeah, that's a
Yeah,
sad day.
exactly. Or your highlight is like all the stuff that happened earlier on a team that was way more talented than you actually were, so it made you look really good.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about the Jets as a football team. That might come on another one. We're here to talk about their logo. And yeah, getting back on the track, like that, I don't know, the I think we seem to be really fascinated by the movement of a jet across a logo.
It invokes a lot of movement is good in a logo, I feel like,
Yeah.
especially for a sport that has to do with that isn't stationary.
Right. Well, all right. Let's see. I also liked the that Broncos D you were talking about. I thought that was a really cool logo. It also just slapped really well on the side of a helmet. But did you happen to, in your looking back on some of those ones, did you happen to see the like really old school one of the Denver Broncos with the football player standing on the back of a bucking Bronco with likely his spiked cleats on?
Yes, there was a, yeah. There's a another one with like a prospector looking guy on the horse as well. But I think right after that, like standing on the shoulders of beasts of burden with your cleats.
Yeah, like and everything about that just seems just really painful and dangerous for both of
Yeah.
them.
Now this is how you win stupid prizes, playing stupid games like this one.
Oh yeah. And there was another good one. Did you happen to also see the really old school Colts?
With the horse, the guy riding the horse.
Yeah, or like, and then eventually by itself, the bucking horse alone holding a
Yes.
football or pinned between its hooves, front hooves,
Yes. The f
while also bucking apparently so hard it's removing the helmet strap to its neck.
Yes, to its yes, that's what's flying off of its head, not a man. The picture I was looking at was really small, but I can see it now that yeah, that's a helmet popping off its head because it's squeezing that football so hard.
Dear listeners, I'm begging you. Like, I know we keep joking about the pulling over the car or whatever, but when you do have an opportunity to look at some of these logos, I beg of you to look at them. They are fascinating. Some of them are really funny. Some of them are just like, in the case of like the Chiefs, if you happen to look at an old one there, some of them are a little more problematic, but they are all crystallized moments of time that I just kind of enjoy watching, especially with the NFL. Like, the humanoid ones are all really good.
The Browns, some of the original, like the original Browns guy.
What is that? That is that
It
an
looks to
elf?
me like one like the Fighting Irish logo almost, like a take on Notre Dame or a Billiken. Is that his name,
Okay, yeah.
Billiken? From another college mascot. I'm drawing a blank on.
I am too, but I know what you're talking about, the something
Scream
Billiken.
it! Scream it louder if you're in your car, so we can hear you. Yeah, the Patriots had a three-pointed hat before they had the man over the football in the three-point stance with a three-pointed hat. And the three-pointed hat by itself is straight on. So it looks almost like a Batman logo with a horseshoe for a neck. At least in my humble opinion. The Steelers had a man on an I-beam, a steel I-beam, and then the 49ers had a man
Hunting a
doing a jig.
football,
Yes.
putting a football on a steel I-beam. Like, what? Yeah, the 49ers and like the little prospector dude, like
The doing a jig.
you can hear him just be like, "Oh, we eat tonight, we eating tomorrow night."
Well, sweet googly. Yeah, you can hear his dancing for shizzle.
And then, yeah, I mean, let's see. The one thing that I will just to touch on that Patriots one before, the one of the man in the 3-point stance, like, he's a thick boy.
He is. It's definitely like a nose guard pretending to be a center.
Right, but I mean, like, but he's also like built, like, I'm thinking more on the lines of like, I could almost picture like a 1980s era WWF wrestler cosplaying as this
It's
guy,
as
and
a Patriot.
right, to do like a photo op, because it's that kind of thick, like, you know, like, not fat guy thick, not gonna shut down your buffet thick, like the guy standing in front of the club and we're not getting in tonight thick. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that elf, but I'm glad you brought it up, because it's like, what is that thing? Like, it's just an elf.
It's a brown. It's a Cleveland Brown.
The Cleveland Brown, yeah, right? Like, is that what the gang boys looked like when they were the Browns? The Brown boys, you don't want to be messing with them. Speaking of like humanoid or anthropomorphic animals, I think one that made me laugh immediately, and it's because at this one particular like logo thing that I was using, it was obviously at the top because it's the Arizona Cardinals. But back when they were the St. Louis Cardinals, they had a cardinal.
With the archway in the background.
Yeah, and he's just like running, holding a football, but he's a cardinal. It's like a BoJack Horseman character.
It looks like one of the girls from the cafe in regular show. What's the female love interest?
Margaret.
Margaret, thank you.
Yeah, it's that same look. Like he's just running, he's holding the football in that like classic pose, you know, arm out a little bit.
Yeah, the Heisman pose.
And then yeah, just as you said, just evoking that something local, the archway. It's a pretty good thing to put in the back of your logo, but I don't know how well it played on the slat or on the side of a helmet. But who's to say? This was also the 60s. They were running around in leather heads at that point still, right?
Yeah, they didn't have logos on those leather caps.
Nah. As far as you know, my favorites, that was pretty much most of it. I really wanted to make sure I got through some of those classic ones. They're no longer really around, but I mean, come on, like the colt horse bucking so hard that he's
Yeah.
removing his own helmet, but also still managing to pin a football between his hooves. It's going for so much. Like I feel like they nailed it later with just the horseshoe, which I don't know if that speaks more to like them making that look more iconic, you know, with the winning or you know going to the Super Bowl and being able to be seen on TV in that.
Having it painted on the grass.
Yeah, you know, it's that idea where it's just like it becomes more about what it, you know, it becomes more your logo than it is actually like, you know, what it's trying to evoke. It's just a horseshoe, but they're talking about the Colts. Like I think about like the Indiana Pacers going back to the NBA in the last segment. The Indiana Pacers, like it started off as like a hand shooting a ball in the P, and then eventually they got rid of the hand, and now it's just a ball in the P.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, did that just become the logo and iconic? You know, did they just give up on trying to draw a pacer in the same way that say like
Yeah.
the Denver Nuggets when it went for it with the starfish miner?
Yeah, or a piston in Detroit.
Yeah, as far as the those ones went, I definitely am glad we touched base on some of those older classic.
Yes.
So one thing that I found kind of fascinating was touching on that part that we talked about in the last segment again with the teams that have more or less just stylized the logo and hasn't really changed. I would challenge you to look at the Carolina Panthers. It feels like they just basically all they did was they got rid of the white, as much of the white as you could see in the original logo, and made it and it committed more to that navy blue, or I mean that powder blue and black. Like I mean, you see white in the teeth and the eyes, but like the nose and the whiskers each became blue, and
Oh, yeah.
it's the same face in the same
Yeah.
design. It's just a little bit more like cleaner and stylized, and you know something that probably went through a newer version of Adobe Photoshop, while the other one was a little bit more hand drawn.
Oh, they probably win this game. We call it pro football.
Hey, what?
Oh, it's just the one of the best fan videos of all time. I'm sure you've seen the guy singing the Carolina Panthers song.
No.
Really? No, you haven't?
It's bad lip reading, right? Oh.
No, it's Dominate the Foe by Ked Woodley for anybody that wants to look it up. And it's just a fan. I'm gonna say right now, he looks like a fan of football. I recently heard somebody talking about wrestling fans. Carl Tart was saying how you never see wrestling fans look nourished. They're always either mal or over.
That's a pretty apt descriptor now that you mention it.
But this guy looks like a Carolina Panthers football fan. I don't know how else to say it. But he stands center frame with a drum track playing, and he just proceeds to lay it down for about a minute and 30 seconds and just slay absolute fire. But I'm sure that listeners have their own favorites and their own least favorites, and I for one would like to hear what some of those are, not all of them. But is there a place that people can send their favorites?
As of right now, I know that we have an active email. You can reach us at whyyeswe'refriends@gmail.com. And I do check those emails, so feel free to send those in. But we are slowly, as we do this again, not to meta too much, but this current recording is happening on the day that we released episode one, the very exciting day for us.
Hell yeah.
But we're also now beginning the process of all the secondary stuff, the parts that will make us more easy to reach in marketing and all that. Again, be on the lookout for that one. They'll be in the show notes for this one, at least if once things are more set in stone. But as Brendan said, we would love to hear from you guys as far as what your favorite logos are, which ones you think are funny. As you see, Brendan and I had some things we agreed on and some things we didn't agree on. So we're definitely also interested to hear on the things you might think of otherwise, whether you liked the ones we hated, whether you hate the ones we liked. This is a definite can of worms that I think everybody themselves has at least some sort of opinion on, even if you're not exactly like the world's biggest sports fan.
Yeah, or graphic designing expert, because we certainly are not that either.
No. So we would also like to hear some of that expertise too, because I find some of that fascinating, especially when people are able to kind of
Absolutely.
like break down more of the granular, like, oh, hey, do you know why they went with this particular thing? Oh, well, if you look closely, he's got, the letter W hidden in his, in his arm, like the Brewers logo that you were talking about just last week. Like little things hidden like that, very fascinating to me. So if you've got that expertise or just fun little nuggets of information, share them with us. We'll take it. But if you want to reach us individually, you can reach me pretty much at the Ronarchy everywhere, Instagram, Twitter. I think even still MySpace has that one. How about you, Brendan? Anywhere they could reach you individually?
Yeah, I'm at My Belongings on X, and I'm at My Belongings on Blue Sky. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the Ronarchy on Blue Sky as well. So with that said, that has been another episode of Why Yes, We're Friends. We're putting it in the can on this one. We appreciate you being here and getting this far with us. We'll be back next week with some more deep diving topics and likely to be sports or a variety of other ones. But until then, as always, for three, yes, it counts.
Try those coconuts, those walnuts and donuts. There ain't many nuts like they. We'll sell you two kinds of red herring, yeah, and dark brown and ball bearing. But yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today.